Remain seated. We'll look at that in just a moment. But while you're finding your place, let me just ask the men on our men's council. I see a few of you in here tonight. I know one of you is traveling tonight. But tonight, could I just mention something to you very quickly following the service? I promise you it will just take a moment. If you would allow that, I would appreciate it so, so very much. Isaiah chapter number 26. Let me give you a little bit of background about what's going on in the Word of God here in the text that we're going to be looking at, set the stage, lay the groundwork for you. When you look at Isaiah chapter 26, you've got to look at it in the context of understanding that Isaiah 25 and 26, they are both going hand in hand. In other words, one is a continuation of the other. Chapter 26, of course, a continuation of chapter 25. I'll repeat some things tonight just for the sake that we can get them all into our hearts and minds, but just in case any of us may not know this, the divisions of chapter and verse were not added. They were not in the original text of God's Word. It was added later on, and I'm grateful that they were added. It makes it a whole lot easier finding Isaiah 26. We'd be spending all night trying to find it otherwise. So while they are helpful, they are not divinely inspired. But that's why that you have sometimes continuations that goes from chapter 25 to chapter 26. They go in context together. When you look at 25 and 26, they are really both dealing with the coming of the kingdom of God. And they are dealing with that time period that is going to happen following the rapture of the church. And remember, at any point and at any moment, the trump of God could sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we're going to be raptured out of this world. You and I that are left behind are going to, that are still alive and remain, are going to be raptured out of this world. And we're going to be home with Jesus then. 7 years following that, there will be the period of the tribulation during that time frame. And then at the end of that, you run into what will be the second coming of the Lord, where He actually does return to this earth. And during that period, there will be the battle of Armageddon. Ultimately, following that, the millennial kingdom will be set up on earth. This is going to be what I'm really talking to you about tonight. And during that time frame is what Isaiah is speaking of in chapters 25 and 26, and where God's people, the Jewish people, will know peace and know freedom and know happiness like they've never known before. And so Isaiah is looking and speaking and writing here toward the millennial kingdom. You say, well, my goodness, what does that have to do with us? Well, you've got to remember that it is a picture, aspects of it, of our very lives. Remember that the Old Testament prophets, such as Isaiah, they did not see the church age that you and I are living in right now. When they were writing and prophesying about the things that were going to happen, future events that would transpire, they were looking in their lifetime, they were looking in their time frame and looking toward the time of Christ. And they knew, as Isaiah 7:14 tells us and other passages in the Old Testament, they knew the Messiah was going to come. But beyond that, they did not know and understand the church age, the age of grace, the most glorious age, something bigger and better than their minds could ever even begin to fathom, is what you and I live in today. Experiencing what grace really is and the opportunity that we have to know Christ through grace. We'll talk a little bit about that, the Lord willing, Sunday morning. But He is speaking here in this period, in His period, looking toward the millennial reign of Christ beyond the time that you and I have ever even experienced. But He is speaking to that. But He is also writing in His modern day. He's writing in the day that He is living, and He is doing so in a picture and in the context of God's people at that time, the Jews, the people there. But it is a picture and can be identified and related to the life of the child of God, as so much of the Old Testament does. You see pictures and likenesses of that. And so when we come to verse number 16, by which we'll be reading in just a moment. When we come to verse number 16, we are given here a profound statement and a profound thought that I think that you and I desperately need to pay attention to this evening, especially when it comes to this matter of prayer. And I really try on these first and third Wednesday nights to focus as much as I can on prayer, so our prayer lives can be strengthened. There's not a one of our prayer lives that are where they need to be. And our prayer lives need to be strengthened. So if you would rise to your feet with me right now, may I read just one verse of Scripture to you right now, just one verse. We'll look at another in just a moment, but I want you to notice this for now. In verse number 16, look at what the Scripture says. The Bible, Isaiah is writing here, and he says, Lord, and remember the context by which he is writing, okay? But remember that it does have personal application to where we are today. Verse 16 says, Lord, in trouble have they, that is God's people, visited thee. Now ponder upon that. They pour out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Do you see that? They pour out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Isaiah is saying your people are praying when your judgment is falling upon them. Now, there's four things I want to share with you from this tonight. Three primary, and then one just to cap it all off. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Understanding a little bit now about the context of what we see is happening in this, let me just go ahead and lay these things on your heart, and we'll spend a few moments in prayer. And so when we look at verse number 16, we see, first of all, in this passage of Scripture, we see the serious adversity that they are dealing with, the serious adversity. Again, speaking of God's people, and we look here in the beginning part of verse number 16, he says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. He's saying in trouble, that word trouble. Do you know what the word trouble means? It means just as the word trouble is saying here. It means they were in trouble. The people of God were experiencing trouble, all kinds of trouble on all sides of them. It was very serious trouble. I mean, there was turmoil in every way in the land. They were having trouble having to do with their security, those that were in their land and in the Jerusalem area and in the kingdom. They were having trouble with security. They were having trouble economically. They were having trouble, of course, with the captivity issues. Obviously, all these things put together, they were having trouble with spiritual matters as well. We've got to remember that God's people were constantly in and out of bondage due to the judgment of God that was falling upon them. Sin and rebellion brought judgment. And I always say this when I bring that out in Scripture, is we must always remember that sin and rebellion always brings judgment. You may not think that you are experiencing judgment and you're getting away with your sin right now. You rest assured, God is keeping a record. He is watching what is going on. And though you may not feel like you are under God's judgment right now, you rest assured, even though you may not, it'll catch up to you. God's judgment is coming if it's not already upon you. And the people of God here, the people of Judah, they were in a mess. They were in a serious set of trouble. There was trouble on all sides of them that they were dealing with. They were dealing with adversity as such they had never seen or they had never known before. There are people in our church right now that are dealing with trouble, adversity. A matter of fact, if we only knew the amount of trouble and adversity that was really represented in this building alone, those of us that are here tonight, it would blow our mind that the things that people are going through, that most of us, all of us maybe, they don't even know. Every time that I sit down to try to pray with you, I say, what can you tell me that I can help you pray about? There are things in all of our lives that are so secret, they are so private, that we don't want anybody to know. That's what a silent prayer request, and I don't know that I would use a silent prayer request a whole lot. I don't know how biblical that really is, how helpful that really is. However, they do exist because there are unspoken requests. There are things on my heart that I just can't share with you. There are things on your heart you can't share with me. The bottom line, from this corner to that corner to this corner to that corner and everybody in between, there is trouble in this building, outside of the walls of this building. Some may not even be able to be at church tonight because there is trouble going on in their lives, even as we speak. Trouble everywhere. Serious adversity that is there. Sometimes you can sense it. Have you ever done that? When you come to church, I was coming up the steps just a few minutes ago, and some of the ladies had just had bell practice. And they were standing, one on this side of the steps, one here, and one here. They were chatting, and I was coming up the steps. I got right in between them, and I said, I sense the stress from the bell practice right now. Just having a good time. But sometimes you can sense trouble. No trouble there, but you can sense trouble sometimes. Sometimes you can sense the fact that when you get into the worship service that there's something that is restricting in the service, and it's just burdens in many cases. It's matters that are so heavy. Minds are, in many cases, are a million miles away. And look, that's just reality because we're filled in this life with trouble. Job said, just shortly, a man being born, there's trouble. Just as the sparks fly upward, you're going to have trouble. And there's trouble everywhere, all around us right now. But the depth of that trouble is revealed to us. You see, Israel was dealing, the Jews were dealing here with a great deal of trouble. When you look further in the verse number 16, it tells us that they were dealing with this trouble because the chastening of God was upon them. Is it possible that some of the trouble that we encounter is due to the chastening of God? Absolutely it is. I can think back to times in my life when I've had trouble come in my life. And it wasn't just because of things that was going, the attacks of Satan and hell that were coming against me, but a lot of it was just brought upon myself. Just trouble that I created. And it's all rooted in God's judgment. It's all rooted in the chastening of God trying to get my attention. And therefore, whenever I find myself in trouble, hear me now. I may have done nothing wrong. There may be no chastening. There may be no judgment on my life. There may not be, but every time I find myself in trouble, that is truly the very first thing that I look at in my life. Lord, what's wrong with me? Have I failed you? There's trouble. There's chastening. What are you doing to me now, Lord? Is there some way that I've brought this on myself, and how do I need to make it better? That's step number one. God's people here had a bunch of trouble. Serious adversity that had come into their life, into their existence, their lifestyle as a whole. Notice the second thing. Now that we understand that, notice the second thing here. Not only do we see the serious adversity, but there is also the sudden attention. This is what I would love for us to really get into our heart on this Wednesday night. The sudden attention further in verse number 16. Now look at it right here. He says, in trouble have they visited thee. In other words, they are in the middle of trouble. And that's when they visited God. When they were in the middle of their trouble. You look further at it. Have they visited thee? Now look at this. They poured, and it's an interesting word. We understand the word poured, but it was an overwhelming. They were filling their cups, basically, and pouring them over onto the table. That's how much they were praying. They poured out a prayer on chastening. They were praying with such diligence and with such fervency because they were in trouble. They were having the judgment of God upon their life. God was chastening them, as we see in the Scripture. Now think about that. Isn't it amazing how we get in a season or a series of serious trouble? Isn't it amazing how religious we suddenly get? All of a sudden, God gets really, really important to us. We have no real interest in the things of God. When we're riding down the highway of life and everything is going great, the Michelin tires are just running smooth. There's not a problem, not a bump on the road anywhere, but just as soon as one of the wheels goes to wobbling and one of the wheels falls off, we get real interested in the things of God in a hurry. We really do. Many years ago, I knew a lady, and she was a very kind lady, a professing Christian, always has been for as long as I had known her, comes from a good family. But this particular lady rarely, if ever, faithfully attended church. You never heard her speak of anything spiritual. As a matter of fact, when a spiritual conversation would come up, this individual would quickly try to change the subject or, you know, leave the room. That's a bad sign of somebody's interest. I love talking about the things of God. I love talking about Tom Brady as we were the other night. I love talking about the Atlanta Braves sports. I love talking about cars, trucks, whatever hobbies we may have, golf, whatever it might be. Love talking about those things. Somewhere, though, in the middle of the conversation of children of God, he's got to come up. Just got to come up somewhere. And this lady, she never really attended church. Rarely, if ever, would she do it. Was never comfortable talking about the things of God until her child was given a threat of a cancer diagnosis. All of a sudden, this lady right here got serious with God. She never, ever, ever, at that point, she never missed a service. She was regular in visiting the altars of God and calling out to the Lord. Rarely was there a time when she was not down there during prayer time or when the invitation time would come. Rarely was that ever the case. She was constantly begging prayer from other people, asking them, please pray that God would heal. God would touch my daughter and my little girl. She was making the most profound statements about how strong her faith was in God and His healing of her child on social media. And nothing is wrong. Do you understand that? With all of those things, we should visit an altar. We should beg prayer. We should attend church. We should make good, strong spiritual statements on social media, if you're on it, about the things of God. We certainly should. But here's the problem. The timing and the motivation was very, very curious. Now, it is not our job to judge her motives. But at the same time, you got to look at that and you got to wonder, why is this happening right now? Why have you all of a sudden turned in to this mighty spiritual giant? Could God be using the tragedy, the trouble in her life, the adversity to draw her closer to the Lord? Of course, that was what the desire in the prayer was. Unless or until the child got a clean bill of health. And then immediately went back into the same life, the same cold, the same complacent, the same lack of interest in the things of God that she had ever had before. While there was nothing wrong with that press and that move toward God, do you understand what I'm saying? It was not real. It was not genuine. Simply because it was the adversity that brought her to her knees. It was the trouble that came into her life that all of a sudden made the things of God important to her. Before we get too critical of this dear lady, maybe not on a scale of a cancer or potential cancer diagnosis and facing surgery to get it dealt with and such things, and we're grateful that God evidently helped in that. But before we get too critical, on our own levels, how many times do we run to God in the middle of adversity and trouble when we have ignored Him for years, months, weeks, even days, even hours? When trouble comes in our life, when adversity comes in our life, all of a sudden we become a spiritual giant. Never missing church. Begging other people to pray. Posting all of these things that are out there. Friends, in many cases, all we are is proving the fact that we're only interested in God when we need God. But we need to understand there is a problem that comes with that. There isn't only the serious adversity that we could speak of right here, but then there is also the sudden attention. All of a sudden, he's saying God's people are giving attention to God again. because of the adversary. But is it adversity? But is it real? Is it real? Notice third, he also speaks right here of a steady abatement. A steady abatement, A-B-A-T-E-M-E-N-T, abatement. It is just simply meaning right here the reduction or lessening of something. It's actually giving the idea of a decline. A decline that is given. Now understand this, God sees our hearts. Everything. Now, whether we are in the, you know, on the mountaintop of our life, we're riding down the highway of life as smooth as we possibly can. Not a problem in the world. Not a cloud in the sky. Everything's great. He sees our hearts then. But then when those wheels fall off, he sees our hearts then. He knows how genuine our sudden movement toward spiritual things really, really is. He sees it all, and he knows it all. And he knows if our sudden movement to God is genuine. If it is real. It helped me when it really got into my heart many years ago. I can't fool God. A fool attempts to fool God. I can't fool God. He knows everything that is going on. He knows the depths and the deepest and the darkest secrets of my life. And when he looks at my heart, the genuineness of my attempt and my attention to him, and when he sees that it's not right, he is under no obligation whatsoever to intervene in the middle of my situation. You may say, but hold on, Brother John. What about that lady that you just told us about? God answered her prayer, and that was a serious and a very devastating situation, and God answered her prayer. Now, you know what? Maybe he did. But maybe he didn't. You need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that for God to answer that individual's prayer, with the evidence of the lack of genuineness that she had for God to answer her prayer, it would have been out of the character of God. You understand that? God hears the prayer of the faithful. God hears the prayer of those that do not have their prayer life hindered. And it would be out of the character of God for him to do that. Well, then why did God help that child? Why is it? You need to understand, God may not have answered that mother's prayer. There may have been an old grandma somewhere. There may have been an old friend, an old neighbor, a family member. There may have been a preacher somewhere that was praying that God would touch that little girl. And God answered that individual's prayer. And that mother was just a beneficiary. Some old saint of God who walked with God, who knew how to get a hold of God, and they were the beneficiary of that. I've told you time and time again, I'm drinking water today from wells that I did not dig. Do you understand that? I am enjoying the benefits of a parents, mom and dad, who knew how to get a hold of God. I'm enjoying the pastorate in this great church today because there have been men before me that dug the well. And they fought the battles that I have not had to fight because they stood firm in the middle of it. You and I today, all of us, are drinking water from wells that we did not dig. And we ought to thank God. We're having prayers answered in our lives. We don't deserve prayers are answered in our life because some godly mom, dad, brother, sister, friend, pastor, neighbor, whomever is calling out to God and God's blessing us on their behalf. And that's how that thing works. But even so, God may not have answered the prayer of that mother I told you about. May not have. And again, it's not our right to make that call. May not have done it. But if her condition truly was not genuine, her decline is going to continue and continue. You look at verse number 17, look at it with me. He speaks of it further. He says, like a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain. He makes it so clear to us. And crieth out in her pains, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. He's saying right here, you're not genuine. You're going to have a steady decline. You're going to continue to go downhill. So while that situation I told you about, that girl may have had an intervention with God, that's true. While that may be the case, and we rejoice in that, there was something still on the inside of those individuals, depending on whatever situation it may be in anybody's life, something inside, if they never dealt with these things, there is something deep, deep down on the inside of them that is still longing and still spiritually miserable in their life because they are in a spiritual decline. Their spiritual decline is going to continue to go down and down and down and down and down. They're crying out from spiritual misery. So while that God may have moved in one situation that was wide open on the main stage, on the inside, we're just spiritual. There is a decline, as the Bible is speaking of. And if you can look at individuals like the one that I just told you about today, you can look in their eyes. You just see such misery. They're so unhappy. They just have no joy. They have no purpose because there is a spiritual decline that they are experiencing. And it will continue all the way until the judgment seat of Christ, even if they are saved. It's a steady decline. But notice a final thing. I just want to cap it all off right here. Understanding what we've talked about and how that so oftentimes we just run to God in prayer here in times of trouble, you know, adversity. We give Him our attention. Dear, in those times, think with me also, fourthly, right here, about how that is just a shameful approach. A shameful approach that is seen. Folks, listen to me now. Running to God only when we are in a time, a season of trouble, is an insult. An insult to a holy God. It breaks His heart in every way. Why? Why does it break the heart of God? Simply because we are openly revealing how much we really think of Him. Everybody sees it. I just gave you an example of one, and you know them too, don't you? You know people out there in that same type of situation, only running to God in times of trouble. Look, I can give you example after example after example, illustration after illustration after illustration, and you know them too. Their world falls apart. God gets important to them. That just insults God. It breaks His heart. It turns His stomach because He's showing the rest of this world, you and I are showing the rest of this world, how little we really are. God is. And how important that He really, really is to us. We need to understand tonight that we had better be really, really, really careful about how we treat Him and how we run to Him only in a time of trouble. We better be real careful about that. Because you can rest assured the time is coming when we're going to need Him. And you never know. It may be such a silent, private matter that you can't even tell your spouse. You can't even tell your family. You can't tell your friend. You can't tell your preachers. You can't tell anybody. You need God and you got to get a hold of God. And you better make sure that God doesn't only hear from you in a time of trouble. And this is what I've tried to pour into our lives over these years. You need to pray with people. You need to invest in people's lives in prayer and call out to God. Let God hear your voice. Don't you go visit God only, as Isaiah is talking about here, when times are tough. Don't let Him only hear your voice when it is a cry for help. Let Him hear your voice out of a cry of gratitude, out of a cry of thankfulness for the mercy and the grace of God. in our lives don't make prayer only a matter of adversity. Some thoughts to remember tonight. And we'll spend a few moments in prayer, but I want you to remember a few things. I mentioned Miss Mickey a moment ago.